Our scripture readings tonight are from Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, and Romans 11, 33 through 36. Finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And from Romans, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his path beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue tonight looking at the pieces of the armor of God. And we're reminded that twice in this Ephesians passage, as Paul's describing the armor of God, he tells us to put on the full armor of God, so that in the day of trouble, we will be able to stand. And having done everything, to be able to stand. And I've shared with you over the past couple of weeks how often I'm aware that I go rushing out into the battle of the day, if you will, only half prepared, only half dressed. And I realize how much I rob myself, how much we rob ourselves, how we make life so much harder than it has to be, than when we do not take advantage of the gifts that God has given us. And so we look at the armor of God. Tonight we're coming to the belt of truth, and I told you I kind of took these out of order a little bit, but Paul tells us to stand then with the belt of truth buckled firmly around our waist. The belt of truth, which holds it all together, if you will, which keeps us from falling apart. The belt of truth. Why is the belt of truth so important to us? Because our enemy is a liar. Jesus himself tells us that lying is the enemy's native tongue. He is the father of lies. And he loves nothing more than to come against God's children with his lies. And unless we know the truth, unless we're grounded in the truth with our roots growing deep into the truth, and we allow him to smack us around, we allow him to pull us apart, we allow him to make us ineffective. Sometimes we allow him to make us a mess when we listen to his lies and we don't have the truth of God with which to fend them off. Wrap that truth around you, Paul tells us. Because, see, the enemy would love us to believe that we are lost, that there is no hope for us, or no hope for the world we live in. The enemy would love us to think that we are defeated, that we have done too much or done too many terrible things to ever really be forgiven. And even those of us who are in the kingdom, even those of us who have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus Christ, who stand, as we talked about last week, with a breastplate of righteousness, who have our head and our mind protected, if you will, by that helmet of salvation, even we are tempted to believe his lies. How can you call yourself a Christian when you fill in the blank? When we get a glimpse into some of the ugly places in our own heart, and we think we're without hope, that we will forever be a wounded soldier. We need to hear the truth that God tells us that when we are in Christ, we are a new creation. The old is past and gone. We need to know the truth. We sang it earlier, that God sees the depths of our heart, every ugly place, every wounded part, and loves us the same. That we are in no way trusting in our own goodness or the fact that we have pulled it all together and checked everything off our good Christian list so that we might be restored. But by God's grace, because God so loved the world, because God so loved you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that we believe in him, we shall not die but have everlasting life. That we are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we need the truth, because we have all these lies bouncing around us, lies about ourselves, who we were, who we are. And we need to allow God to speak his truth. That we are his children, that he will not let us go, that no one can snatch us out of his hand. We need to have him press the truth of that into our lives. We need to wrap that truth around us like a belt to hold us together. But you know, it's not just the truth about us that sometimes messes us up. The truth about a lot of things, because we live in this crazy world where there's so much information and where opinions are marketed as fact, where you can listen to two people describe the same event and you would have no idea it was the same event. We are so twisted, if you will, by our own bias, by our own perspective, by our own worldview. And we hardly ever can see clearly. Sometimes I listen to the news and I wonder if there is a news source out there that is without bias. I wonder if there's a news source out there that's reporting fact, not opinion, packaged up as fact. And I'm not sure that there is. Sometimes I find myself saying, all I want to know is the truth. I don't care who's right. I don't care who's wrong. I just want to know the truth. And yet we live in a world where it seems like truth is so hard to find. Opinions galore. Truth, not so much. So how do we find truth? How do we know what truth even is? The very first thing we do is we look at what Jesus said about truth. And he said this. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. That's where we find truth in Jesus Christ. Just as Paul tells us to stand with a belt of truth buckled around our waist here in Ephesians, in the book of Romans, he tells us to put on Christ, to clothe ourselves with Jesus, to wrap him around us. the only way we are ever going to find truth is by looking for it in the one who is himself truth, in Jesus Christ. We are blessed to live in an era with all the information that's available to us, that there is so much Christian information available to us. All sorts of Bible studies and sermons and talks and blogs. So many. And again, what a blessing. And yet I'm reminded that we are always tempted to take a good thing and make it an idol. And in so many ways, as God's people, I feel like we day after day after day fall into this lazy trend of letting someone else do our thinking for us. It's so much easier to hear what Max Lucado might say about something than it is to wrestle it out for ourselves. It's so much easier to hear what Louis Giglio might be thinking from the Passion Movement than to wrestle it out for ourselves. And as important as it is for us to have teachers and preachers who inspire us, as important as it is for us to feed our minds, our very hearts, our very souls, on some of the great writings from decades and centuries past all the way up to the present time, as important as that is, we cannot let that take the place of this one-on-one relationship that God has invited us into. We have people who are in positions of authority, people who are teachers, who are preachers that we honor and we respect, and we are right to do so. But the reality of it is, we need to be in this relationship with Jesus where we can hear his voice. That's his promise to us in John 10. That my sheep will hear me. They will know my voice. God says to Jeremiah, ask, and I will hear you, and I will tell you of great and unfathomable things which you do not know. Amen. Amen. Somehow, the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the God of all creation, the God who always was and is to come, is willing to teach us about himself, willing to share with us the deep things of his spirit. Jesus said this. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you in all truth. And when we believe in Jesus Christ, when we've claimed him as our Savior, as our Lord, when we've been sealed in him by the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of truth has come and it resides in us. And the promise is that he will lead us into all truth. One of the great things that came out of the Reformation was what we call the priesthood of all believers. Pope Francis was just here in the Philadelphia area, and as wonderful as a man that Pope Francis is, we in the Protestant Church do not believe in a hierarchy where some people have greater access to God than others. We do not believe that we need to go through a mortal priest to connect with God. We believe that in Jesus Christ, every one of us is a priest. We believe that we have absolute access to God Almighty through the blood of Jesus Christ. Every one of us, whether we're Pope Francis or the greatest Bible scholar or some poor slob who just loves Jesus, we all have the same access. And so I really believe, as the people of God, that we need to start taking advantage of that. We need to start going one-on-one with God. Oh, the riches of the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God, Paul tells us in the Romans passage from Romans 11 that Tom read for you. Oh, the riches, the depth of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. We walk around in our lives trying to figure out what to do We have access to the one who has all wisdom and all knowledge. I know I told you this story before, but it always strikes me when I think about asking God about things. When I heard one of the DJs on K-Love a few years back talking about he and his wife sitting down at their kitchen table facing a problem that they had no answer to. And he said, if only we knew someone who was really wise that we could ask about this. And he had to stop. Because he remembered at that moment that he knew somebody who was really wise. And how often do we try to find human wisdom, to figure it out on our own, or to take somebody else's word for it, rather than sink into the depths of God's wisdom and knowledge. To call so that he might answer us and tell us great and unfathomable things that we don't know. As I look around me and I read blog posts and news articles and even Facebook, I'm reminded how we are influenced by so many other things other than our relationship with Jesus. There have been several things lately, one of which was the Syrian refugee crisis, that as I looked at people's responses to it, I knew where they watched their news. Somehow, whether we watch CNN or MSNBC or Fox News should not define us as the people of God. And I see people who hold very different political beliefs, yet who are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, fighting among themselves, calling one another names because their politics don't line up. I know people who think that Jesus would be a very conservative Republican. And I know other people who think that Jesus would be a very liberal Democrat and maybe even a socialist. But the reality of it is that Jesus is above every political system. And we will never find our answer in a human institution. Not that we shouldn't be involved in the political process. Not that we shouldn't make our voice heard. Not that we shouldn't be praying for wisdom as we vote and praying for our leaders as they wrestle with what is often a mess in this country. But that is not where our hope is. You know, that's what happened with the zealots in Jesus' time. They were the people who were looking for the Messiah to come in and start a political revolution who would pull them out of the Roman rule and restore Israel's freedom. And that very hope messed them up because they kept looking for a Messiah who was going to be political, who was going to bring a political answer to their problems. As a matter of fact, it's very likely that Judas Iscariot got caught up in that because there's a thought among some Bible scholars that he was a zealot. And when Jesus did not do politically what he thought Jesus would do, he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. People were looking for a political answer, and Jesus had come to inaugurate the kingdom of God. We need to be careful we're not making the same mistake. I'm reminded as well that when Jesus walked on this earth, Emmanuel, God with us, God fleshed out for us, there was a big group of church leaders who led the church, if you will, who knew the scriptures, who could argue the scriptures among themselves, who practiced righteousness, who did all the things they were supposed to do, including fasting twice a week and tithing every little bit of everything that they had. You know what happened when Jesus came in the flesh? The Christ, the Messiah? They missed it. They missed it. even though they knew the scriptures, even though they practiced acts of righteousness. They missed it. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will lead you into all truth. We cannot find truth unless we are in an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're looking for truth, then we need to look in Jesus. Sometimes we think praying is all about just handing God our list of things we need him to do or people we need to look after. And even though that's a very vital part of praying, I believe God wants more out of his relationship with us than just handing him a Santa Claus list every so often. God invites us to be in dialogue with him. God invites us to ask him open-ended questions. God invites us to invite him into the everyday parts of our day, into our politics, into our work, into our families, into our neighborhoods, to be a part of that. We need to ask him. We need to search it out in his scripture. We need to let him talk to us. We need to stop just taking other people's word for it. Because sometimes we just repeat things that other people have said and we're not even sure there's truth in it. So we don't have to be afraid when we hear somebody start quoting scriptures to pull out our Bible and read it for ourselves, to read it in context. You know, so often I hear people say things like, you know, the Bible says that God helps those who help themselves, or that God will never give you more than you can bear. Neither one of those is in scripture. One of them not at all, and the other one is sort of a twisting, talking about temptation. The reality of the gospel, the reality of the kingdom of God, is God very often gives us more than we can bear, so that we invite him in to bear it with us. So we stop depending on our own strength and depend on the endless resources of God. God is famous for helping those who can do nothing to help themselves. Helping those who are helpless, which is what we are without Jesus Christ. And so if we don't get in the scriptures and dig those things out for ourselves, ask God the heavy questions of life, we are missing out on the truth. And we are weakening one of the weapons that God gives us, and that's the truth. It was not until my mom got sick and was dying that I started asking God really hard questions. Really, really hard questions. Questions that now, if I share them with you, you would probably think I should be ashamed of myself for saying those things to God, to asking him those questions. And yet I discovered during that time that God is big enough to handle my questions. Jesus tells us to ask, to seek, to knock, to keep on asking, to keep on seeking, to keep on knocking. Because the one who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door is open. It doesn't mean when we ask God hard questions, we get an immediate answer. I have questions I've been asking God for years, and I don't know. There are things we won't know until we see him face to face. When we then fully know, just as even now we are fully known. But I believe as we ask God's question, ask God questions, as we seek his will, as we just don't assume we know what he's thinking, we find answers. And I know that to be true because I've seen that time and time again happen in my life. I can't tell you how many times I have asked God a question. And then as I'm doing my Bible reading, or as I'm reading something else, or as I'm thinking about something, or I'm having a conversation to someone, God makes it so clear that he's answering me. I have that happen to me so often when I'm planning out Thursday nights. And there's sometimes I know weeks ahead of time what I'm doing. I've things planned out and I just need to chew on the scriptures and let God bring them alive to me the week that we're in. But there's time I walk out of here Thursday night, I have no idea what's coming up next week. And I have to say, all right, God, what do you want to say? Where do you want to lead us? What do you have for us? And without fail, he brings a scripture alive to me. He gives me a thought. I read something that somebody's written and it inspires something in me. He answers the question. So as we clothe ourselves with Jesus Christ, as we wrap that belt of truth around us, I invite you, if you are not already, to start asking God questions. The deep, hard questions like, God, what do you think about fill in the blank? But then other questions as well, like, God, what do you want to do in me? God, what do you want to do through me? God, what do you have for me? Start writing them down or keeping a list or starting a document on your computer or keeping a mental list. Start asking God questions. Start seeking his truth for your life, for your family's life, for our country's life, for our church's life. Get in an interactive conversation with God. Ask him for his discernment, because that's his promise to us with his spirit, that his spirit living in us will lead us to the truth. That his spirit living in us will show us what's of God and what's not. That we will learn to test the spirits. And we can't do any of that if we are not letting God grow his spirit in us, live in us by the power of his spirit, if we are not in dialogue and conversation, if we are not truth seekers. Because I'm confident as we seek the truth, we will more and more and more find Jesus Christ. And he will wrap himself more and more and more around our lives. And we will be able to stand firm in God's truth. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we need your spirit to live in us. Your spirit of truth that leads us into all truth. God, we don't want to be sheep who follow any voice, but we want to know your sheep who know your voice and listen to you. God, we long to know your truth about us, that we are forgiven, that we are loved, that we are set free, that we are yours and that no one can take us out of your hand. We are saved by your blood, that we are destined for an eternity in heaven, that you know the number of hairs on our head, that you care about the things that we care about, that you will not let us go. We need to know that truth and have it pressed in us, wrapped around us. And God, we need you to teach us how to seek your truth in the other areas of our lives, in the way we think and the way we interact with other people and the way we live in this broken world. God, we desperately need you to teach us the truth of being in the world and not of it. God, we need you to remind us that our hope, our only hope, is in you. God, you care about our minds. You created us in your image with a mind that is capable of all kinds of things. And you remind us not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You command us to love you with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. And so, God, we would love our minds to be your property. We would love you to lead us into your truth, that we might stand firm We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.